Okay, they woke you up. Now I have to keep you awake. Scott, you're having way too much fun on the drums on that one. That wasn't fun? It looked like you were having fun. It kind of harkened me back. I preached a good buddy, Bishop Larry Simpson, had an African-American Pentecostal congregation in Binghamton, and I preached for him one Sunday morning. And in that tradition, at least in that congregation, the drummer plays all the way through the sermon. You're not up for the challenge? I think you would enjoy doing that. Because the young drummer they had, it was actually Pastor Simpson's son, Courtney. And when I was starting to like be Presbyterian and talk slowly and carefully and things like that, he'd start revving up the drums. And so then my pace of talking would try and match his pace of the drums. And the faster I talked, the faster he went with the drums. So I'm not sure I want to challenge you on that. Actually, now that I think about it, the offer's off the table. Well, that was a great song, good words, good music. Woke everybody up. We continue to look at our study of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit, and what does the Holy Spirit mean for us in our lives? And we've touched on a number of different aspects, and we've used Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit in the 18th and 19th chapter of John. But today I'm going to switch gears a little bit with you, and I want us to look into 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. It might have a familiar ring to it. It's one that is generally almost always associated with weddings. But it was never intended for weddings. It was intended for the church. And I'll talk a little bit about that. So with open hearts and open minds, let us hear the 13th chapter of the Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. And I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. For love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. May the Lord bless this a portion from His holy word. You know, we have this funny image of the early church, and that those were the best of days. And there are movements within the Christian faith where they seek to return to the days of the early church. They seek to get back to the primary days or the primitive days of the church in that first century, in those first decades after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have this image of the early church as being this glory days of Christianity. That's an image. That's not the reality. The early church was messed up in many ways. The early church had its struggles and it's trying to find its own identity and trying to discern what it means to be a follower of the way, to be a follower of this Jesus whom they proclaimed as the Christ, the Messiah, the resurrected Lord and Savior. And so there were struggles within the congregations and Corinth of all places was probably one of those congregations that was in the worst shape possible. You see, there was all sorts of arguments and divisions within the church at Corinth. There was all sorts of debate going on as to who had the greater gifts and who was the more important person and what was the right thing to seek and what was the right thing to be and to do. And they were at each other's throats in this startup congregation in this highway and byway city of Corinth. And Paul is writing to them. This, the 13th chapter of Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, is often used for weddings, as I have said. And that's not a bad use, that's a good use, because love is an important aspect of any marriage. And how one loves and what one considers love to be is very important to a good, strong, healthy marriage. But Paul wasn't writing this about weddings. He wasn't writing it about marriage. He was writing it about being the church. He was writing it about how it is that we live together one with another. He was trying to help the church at Corinth to see and to understand what the spirit of the church ought to be, ought to look like, ought to be experienced as. And so he was trying to help them to see, because if you read the chapters preceding this, you can see he is trying to help them understand, because some people were saying that, well, I have the gift of prophecy, therefore I'm the most important person in this congregation. Well, I have the gift of interpretation, therefore I'm the most important person in the congregation. And I have the gift of healing, therefore I'm, you know, and the debate went on and on and on, because they were all trying to discern which gift of the Holy Spirit, which way the Holy Spirit was present in their lives was the most important way. And they saw the Holy Spirit as giving them gifts to show how vital they were to the life of the church. That they saw that the gifts of the Holy Spirit were metered out according to the elevation of the particular person. That those who were greater people got greater gifts. And Paul comes along and he says, that's not how the Holy Spirit works. Let me show you the more excellent way. Let me show you the way that it ought to be in the life of the church. John Calvin, the founder of us, of the Presbyterians. I know, I'll get a couple of corrections after the sermon today, I'm not worried. Our founding pastor, so to speak, of the Presbyterians, always felt strongly that none of us ought to seek any other gift of the Holy Spirit than the gift of love. He felt that all the other gifts were inessential. And the only essential gift of the Holy Spirit that we ought to seek is the gift of love. You see, as we have been studying the person and work of the Holy Spirit, one of the elements of that we need to see is that the Holy Spirit is always in every way consistent with the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the person and work of Jesus Christ can centrally be seen in His unconditional and absolute love. In a few minutes, you and I will be celebrating this simple meal together. But this meal is simple only in the fact that it shows us the person and work of Jesus Christ. So it is with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit teaches us and shows us how it is that we ought to be living in that light, in the light of Jesus Christ. The greatest gift of all from the Holy Spirit is the ability to love unconditionally and absolutely in the same manner in which Jesus unconditionally and absolutely loved each one of us. So when Paul is talking to the church in Corinth and they're trying to figure out this whole Holy Spirit thing, he wants them to see that if you want to know and experience the Holy Spirit, the way to see and experience the Holy Spirit is in your ability to love one another, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love even your enemy. That's when we experience the Holy Spirit, is when we're able to truly love one another. That indeed is the most excellent way. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, Your Holy Spirit enables us to do so much more than we could do with our own strength, our own abilities. We thank You that the Holy Spirit enables us to reach a depth and a height and a breadth of love that we're just not capable of without Your love flowing through us. Help us, O Lord, to always seek that gift of the Holy Spirit, that gift of Your love flowing in and through us to all who are around us. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I'd like to ask the elders who are serving communion if they would join with us up at the front.